3C. Trit was pleased. The melting had been so satisfactory. All previous occasions seemed skimpy and hollow in comparison. He was utterly delighted with what had happened. Yet he kept quiet. He felt it better not to speak. Odin and Dua were happy, too. Trit could tell. Even the children seemed to be glowing. But Trit was happiest of all, naturally. He listened to Odin and Dua talk. He understood none of it, but that didn't matter. He didn't mind that they seemed so pleased with each other. He had his own pleasure, and was content to listen. Dua said on one occasion, "And do they really try to communicate with us?" Trip never got it quite clear who they might be. He gathered that communicate was a fancy word for talk. So why didn't they say talk? Sometimes he wondered if he should interrupt. But if he asked questions, Odin would only say, "Now, Trit," and Dua would swirl impatiently. "Oh, yes," said Odin. "The hard ones are quite sure of that. They have markings on the material that is sent us sometimes, and they say that it is perfectly possible to communicate by such markings. Long ago, in fact, they used markings in reverse, when it was necessary to explain to the other beings how to set up their part of the positron pump." "I wonder what the other beings look like. What do they look like, do you suppose?" "From the laws, we can work out the nature of the stars, because that is simple. But how can we work out the nature of the beings? We can never know." "Couldn't they communicate what they look like?" "If we understood what they communicated, perhaps we could make out something, but we don't understand." Dua seemed aggrieved. "Don't the hard ones understand?" "I don't know. If they do, they haven't told me so. Losten once told me it didn't matter what they were like, as long as the positron pump worked and was enlarged."
"Maybe he just didn't want you bothering him."
Odin said huffily, "I don't bother him."
"Oh, you know what I mean. He just didn't want to get into those details."
By that time, Trit could no longer listen. They went on arguing for quite a while over whether the hard ones should let Dua look at the markings or not. Dua said that she could sense what they said, perhaps. It made Trit a little angry. After all, Dua was only a soft one and not even a rational. He began to wonder if Odin was right to tell her all he did. It gave Dua funny ideas. Dua could see it made Odin angry, too. First he laughed. Then he said that an emotional couldn't handle such complicated things. Then he refused to talk at all. Dua had to be very pleasant to him for a while till he came around. On one occasion, it was Dua who was angry, absolutely furious. It began quietly. In fact, it was on one of the occasions when the two children were with them. Odin was letting them play with him. He didn't even mind when little ripe Torun pulled at him. In fact, he let himself go in most undignified fashion. He didn't seem to mind that he was all out of shape. It was a sure sign he was pleased. Trit remained in a corner, resting, and was so satisfied with what was happening. Dua laughed at Odin's misshapenness. She let her own substance touch Odin's knobbishness flirtatiously. She knew very well, Trit knew, that the leftish surface was sensitive when out of ovoid. Dua said, "I've been thinking, Odin, if the other universe gets its laws into ours just a bit through the positron pump, doesn't our universe get its laws into theirs the same little bit?" Odin howled at Dua's touch and tried to avoid her without upsetting the little ones. He gasped, "I can't answer unless you stop, you middling wretch." She stopped, and he said, "That's a very good thought, Dua. You're an amazing creature. It's true, of course. The mixture goes both ways. Trit, take out the little ones, will you?" But they scurried off by themselves. They were not such little ones. They were quite grown. Anis would soon be starting his education, and Torun was quite parentally blockish already. Trit stayed and thought Dua looked very beautiful when Odin talked to her in this way.
Dua said, "If the other laws slow down our sun and cool them down, don't our laws speed up their suns and heat them up?"
"Exactly right, Dua. A rational couldn't do better."
"How hot do their suns get?"
"Oh, not much. Just slightly hotter, very slightly."
Dua said, "But that's where I keep getting the something bad feeling."
"Oh, well, the trouble is that their suns are so huge. If our little suns get a little cooler, it doesn't matter. Even if they turned off altogether, it wouldn't matter as long as we have the positron pump. With great huge stars, though, getting even a little hotter is troublesome. There is so much material in one of those stars that turning up the nuclear fusion even a little way will make it explode."
"Explode? But then what happens to the people?"
"What people?"
"The people in the other universe."
For a moment, Odin looked blank. Then he said, "I don't know."
"Well, what would happen if our own sun exploded?"
"It couldn't explode." Trit wondered what all the excitement was about. How could a sun explode? Dua seemed angrier, and Odin looked confused. Dua said,
"But if it did, would it get very hot?"
"I suppose so."
"Wouldn't it kill us all?"
Odin hesitated, and then said in clear annoyance, "What difference does it make, Dua? Our sun isn't exploding, and don't ask silly questions."
"You told me to ask questions, Odin, and it does make a difference, because the positron pump works both ways. We need their end as much as ours."
Odin stared at her. "I never told you that."
"I feel it."
Odin said, "You feel a great many things. Dua..." But Dua was shouting now. She was quite beside herself. Trit had never seen her like that. She said,
"Don't change the subject, Odin, and don't withdraw and try to make me out a complete fool, just another emotional. You said I was almost like a rational, and I'm enough like one to see that the positron pump won't work without the other beings. If the people in the other universe are destroyed, the positron pump will stop, and our sun will be colder than ever, and we'll all starve. Don't you think that's important?"
Odin was shouting too now.
"That shows what you know. We need their help because the energy supply is in low concentration and we have to switch matter. If the sun in the other universe explodes, there'll be an enormous flood of energy, a huge flood that will last for a million lifetimes. There will be so much energy we could tap it directly without any matter shift either way. So we don't need them, and it doesn't matter what happens."
They were almost touching now. Trit was horrified. He had better say something, make them get apart, talk to them. He couldn't think of anything to say. Then it turned out he didn't have to. There was a hard one just outside the cabin. No, three of them. They had been trying to talk, and hadn't made themselves heard.
Trit shrieked, "Odin! Dua!"
Then he remained quiet, trembling. He had a frightened notion of what the hard ones had come to talk about. He decided to leave. But a hard one put out one of his permanent opaque appendages and said, "Don't go." It sounded harsh, unfriendly. Trit was more frightened than ever.